Today, when things don't add up at the RBA. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the post covering finance and property news. Well, the Reserve Bank held its cash rate at 4.35% for a sixth straight meeting on Tuesday and lifted its forecast for inflation and economic growth. And in her press conference after the policy decision, Governor Michelle Bullock said there's still a risk that inflation will take too long to return to target and said it's too early to be talking about imminent easing.
So today, as you know, the board decided to leave the cash rate unchanged. For now, the board judges that the level of the cash rate is appropriate for balancing our inflation and employment objectives, but there is still some considerable uncertainty about the outlook. And I want to highlight here that there is still a risk that inflation will take too long to return to target. So the recent CPI data were broadly in line with our expectations, our forecasts, but make no mistake, inflation is still too high, and the board does remain concerned about the degree of excess demand in the economy.
Core prices at 3.9% remains well above the bank's target, and it's largely driven by non-discretionary spending such as insurance, education, and housing rent. Now, it does see underlying inflation easing to 3.5% by the end of this year, and then hitting 3.1% by the middle of 2025. And the gauge is seen falling to just shy of the 2.5% target midpoint by the end of the forecast horizon. The governor did tell reporters that the board discussed a hike before deciding to pause again and said a tightening couldn't be ruled out due to upside risks to inflation. But as Governor Michelle Bullock delivered her comments and answers at Tuesday's press conference, it's become clear that there are some disconnects between inflation in Australia and other countries, a divergence between the bank and markets about the future trajectory of interest rates, a revision as to how restrictive current interest rate settings are actually in Australia, and a problem with the impact of government support in its broadest sense estimated to be around $40 billion across federal and state, plus the tax cuts. And following a string of big spending budgets over May and June, the RBA now expects public demand to increase by 4.3% in the year to December 2024. That's far higher than its previous forecast of 1.5%. The extra spending is forecast to push annual GDP growth, currently 1.1%, up to about 2.6% by June 2025. But, of course, will also be inflationary. So one of the major factors delaying the return to the RBA's inflation target is indeed the surge in government spending. Treasurer Jim Chalmers had hoped federal government's energy rebates would help convince the RBA to cut interest rates sooner, but RBA Governor Michelle Bullock has since said that she would ignore the subsidies since they did not meaningfully address the root causes of inflation. All this has forced a divergence between the headline inflation rate and the so-called trim mean, which meant that the RBA pushed back the timeline for getting inflation substantially back into its 2-3% target band. Indeed, in the accompanying statement of monetary policy, the RBA said it now expected underlying inflation would not get back to the middle of its 2-3% target band until December 2026. That's 6 months later than forecast in May.
Look, we actually put a box in the statement on monetary policy talking about the headline and the underlying inflation, if you like, the trim mean. The headline in the next year or so, as we know, is going to be quite impacted by the temporary impacts of the energy rebates in particular. And what will happen is that it'll lower the headline inflation rate and then it'll pop back up again after the rebates roll off. And that's in our forecasts. We think for the moment the best indicator of what underlying inflationary expectations are doing sets in the trim mean. We think that's the best indicator. Over time, you'd expect the two of them to go together, but the trim mean smooths out the volatility that you tend to get in the headline. Now, to your question, will it affect expectations? Yes, I think that if people see a number with a 2 on in front of it, it might affect expectations. It might affect at the margin some people's thoughts on wage rises and so on. So I think it might have an impact. And that might ultimately have a flow through to the underlying inflation. But I think broadly, people understand that we're about the underlying inflation pressure here, and just because it pops down briefly for a few quarters under 3 and then pops back up, I think people would understand that we're in here for the long game. We're not in here for the quarter-to-quarter movements. So that's the message that I'll try to be getting across to people, is that, yes, be aware that these things are happening, but they're short-term. And what we're focused on is making sure that the underlying inflation is coming down steadily below that.
Strong domestic cost pressures, both labour and non-labour, have kept inflation outcomes high in recent quarters. The RBA said the experience abroad highlights the risks that services inflation could be more persistent than expected. While the RBA expects government subsidies to temporarily push headline inflation back to its 2-3% target by the end of the year, the central bank then expects inflation to shoot back above the band in 2025, when the federal and state government support expires. The stronger outlook for public demand reflects ongoing spending and recent announcements by the federal and state and territory governments, the RBA said. Adding to inflationary pressures is an economy and a jobs market that actually appears healthier than previously thought. Temporary supply-side factors are also thought to be having a larger-than-usual influence on inflation and wages outcomes, the RBA said. Some of those factors have now abated and labour demand has eased, but disinflation has been slow and wages growth has remained persistently high relative to labour productivity outcomes. Given these developments, we assess the labour market and the broader economy to be tighter than previously thought. Our assessment is consistent with a variety of indications and information from the RBA's liaison program that suggests utilization of labor and other inputs has remained above historical averages, they said. The RBA said it expected the prices of government-influenced services like health and education to continue to rise rapidly, while inflation for services is expected to ease only gradually. Our assessment is that the demand for goods and services continues to exceed the supply capacity of the economy, and by a little more than previously thought, the RBA said. Firms are continuing to report that they operate at relatively high levels of capacity utilization, with input cost inflation remaining above long-term averages. So looking at the disconnects in more detail, the RBA, of course, is an outlier compared with other central banks. As the Statement of Monetary Policy said, several advanced economy central banks have cut policy rates, while others are waiting for more evidence that inflation is declining sustainably towards target. The European Central Bank, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, and Sweden's Riksbank all cited lower inflation and subdued economic growth as the main reasons for recent rate cuts. The Bank of Canada, of course, cut its benchmark rate by 25 basis points in June, making it the first G7 central bank to enter an easing cycle. Nonetheless, those central banks still consider their policy rates to be restrictive. Other central banks, including the Fed and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, have left their policy rates unchanged, but have signaled that they are closer to cutting rates due to making progress on disinflation and easing labour market tightness. Of course, the RBA did not lift rates so high in the first place, wanting to protect employment as far as possible, especially given the high mortgage debt burden in Australia. The second disconnect is the question of how restrictive current interest rates actually are. The RBA said that since May, both the economy and the jobs market were stronger than it had previously thought. Some households have been spending more, especially on overseas travel, than they expected, and that whilst the current 4.35% rate is still restrictive, meaning it's designed to dampen consumption and growth, it is not as restrictive as they thought back in May. Households have chosen to take shorter holidays closer to home and reduce expenditure on experiences, tours, and eating out. In contrast, tourism contacts report that demand from overseas visitors continues to increase and is expected to reach pre-pandemic levels over the next year or so. One way to gauge the stance of monetary policy is to compare the cash rate with estimates of the nominal neutral interest rate. Definitions actually of the neutral rate vary, but in essence, it's the level of the cash rate that would neither stimulate nor restrain demand, such that inflation is in line with the midpoint of the target. Accordingly, the cash rate being above estimates of the neutral rate implies that policy is restrictive. Estimates of the nominal neutral rate in Australia have actually increased a little since the pandemic. This reflects both slightly higher estimates of the real neutral rate and a small increase in the trend inflation expectations. However, estimates of the neutral rate are subject to considerable uncertainty, and different models and assumptions can produce quite different results. The next disconnect is that between the markets and the RBA. On Tuesday morning, a full RBA rate cut had been priced in by November and two more by January. The markets are still primed for a rate cut this year, but the RBA's updated forecasts were distinctly hawkish. With the 4.35% being a 12-month high, the RBA has all but ruled out a rate cut in the next 6 months, splitting with global counterparts as it waits for inflation to abate.
Near term, I think what our feeling, the board's feeling, is that the market path at the moment is pricing in interest rate reductions by the end of this year. I think the board's feeling is that the near term, in the next, by the end of the year, in the next 6 months, that doesn't align, given what the board knows at the moment and given what their forecasts are, that that doesn't align with their thinking about interest rate reductions at the moment. Yeah.
In response, the Aussie climbed by as much as 0.7% against the dollar after those comments, although money markets are still betting on just one cut for December. Well, it confirmed that they did discuss a further rate rise or a hold, but not a cut. And it's interesting that they revised up their inflation forecast and pushed out the trimmed mean to return to midpoint, but they still didn't sound more hawkish in the statement, said Diana Musina, Deputy Chief Economist at AMP. To me, is a signal that another rate rise would be a big stretch. Something would need to dramatically change in the outlook for them to raise rates again. Of course, I made that point the other day. We seem to be at peak rate, but of course the question is, for how long? Anyhow, the bond market is sticking with its prediction of at least one interest rate cut by the Reserve Bank this year, defying Michelle Bullock's unequivocal message of no rate relief for at least the next 6 months. Tim Baker, the head of macro research at Deutsche Bank and former economist at the RBA, said the market could not be blamed for its scepticism. The rate strategists said that there were two main reasons, the first being the RBA's track record and the disastrous forward guidance given by the central bank in 2020, when it repeatedly said it would keep rates ultra low until 2023. It started lifting rates in May 2022, of course. Sometimes the rate markets are right and the RBA is extremely wrong, he said. If the RBA is right, then they're going to be at least 4 months, maybe even 7 months behind everyone else. That's pretty long. Yes, you can diverge, but can you diverge 6 months plus? He questioned. Although Deutsche Bank does not expect a rate cut from the RBA until the June quarter of 2025, Mr. Baker said overseas markets would likely influence Australia's rate path. The rates market sees the risk of an early cut, and personally, as a rate strategist, it's hard to argue with that, he added. And it's not just bond traders who appear to be ignoring the central bank. Economists at the Commonwealth Bank and Goldman Sachs are also sticking with their rate relief forecasts. Our Australian economic team retains their view that the economic data will continue to evolve in a way that sees the RBA cutting the cash rate in November, CBA economist Carol Kong wrote. In a note on Wednesday, CBA has been consistently more dovish than many other banks. And Goldman Sachs chief economist for Australia and New Zealand, Andrew Burke, said Australia was actually not that different to global peers across the key macro variables that mattered for central banks. And while Goldman's base case was for the RBA to gradually cut rates from February 2025, he said the risk is that forecasts were skewed firmly towards an earlier start to the easing cycle in late 2024, notwithstanding the RBA's recent surprisingly hawkish forward guidance. And fund manager Tano Pelosi at Antares Capital, however, said the central bank was definitely not cutting the cash rate this year because it had not fulfilled its mandate to bring back inflation to target. He said Ms. Bullock was unequivocal about no cuts in the near term. Clearly, the markets are very sceptical that the RBA has got the right measure on the economy, he said, before highlighting that the central bank kept pushing out the inflation target timeline. In my mind, current cash rate setting is barely restrictive, he said. So in summary, the RBA upgraded its growth forecast, pushed out its time frame for returning inflation to its band, and detailed why it wouldn't fall for the Treasurer Jim Chalmers' energy rebate magic trick, and unambiguously said it underestimated the extent to which aggressive demand outweighed supply. Markets, by nature, of course, look beyond the present and at the future, and are making a bet. But the RBA statement perhaps should give us pause and remind us that we must still stare down a domestic inflationary problem that the RBA does not believe is abating. In the meantime, of course, ordinary households are caught in the crossfire, with many with big mortgages struggling.
Taylor from the ABC. Philip Lowe used to receive letters on his desk. I assume maybe people emailed them or actually sent physical letters and telling them how they were feeling, letters from the public. And some of them are pretty distressing. You've been in the job long enough now to people know who you are and what you're about. Have you been receiving letters, and have some of those letters been quite distressing about from mortgage borrowers and how what sort of finances they're facing?
The answer is yes, I have, and I do read them. And yes, some of them are quite distressing. I understand that monetary policy is a blunt tool and interest rates is a really blunt tool. But the point I would come back to, and I've made it a number of times, is that it's not just interest rates hurting those people, it's the cost of living. It's the fact that inflation has been so high now for a few years, and they're not used to seeing, and they don't want to see, the prices of their essentials going up at the rate they are. So the most important thing that I and the board can do is to get that inflation rate back down. So I do understand that, and as I said, I do get letters that tell me this, I do understand that, but really getting inflation down is really the key to this ultimately being resolved so that households can just get on with their lives and not have to worry about this.
I always ask a follow-up question, which is wrong. Does it affect you personally?
Yes, it does. It does affect me personally. I do find it difficult to read some of them. I can't respond to every single letter I receive. Some I do try to respond to, but it's difficult, you know, to read about it.
Those in the rental sector also under huge pressure. Whilst there is a segment of the population without debt and without rentals to pay, that are still doing very well. And I actually think underlying all of these things, it's that diversity of experience among households and businesses, which is actually the real problem. But my takeout from all of this is it's unlikely we're going to see rate cuts anytime soon. The inflation story is not beat yet, and the RBA has a lot more to do. Markets, of course, will swing around, and I actually think that their latest position is largely influenced by what happened on the stock markets over the last two or three days, which may or may not be easing. We will see. Anyhow, expect rates to stay higher for longer, even if they don't go even above 4.35%. And that's enough to continue to put a lot of people up against it. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.